ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
This week, we're continuing our special series of interviews that take a closer look at UWM's 12 academic schools and colleges as UWM celebrates its 60th anniversary. Today's program features a truly unique academic offering, UWM's School of Freshwater Sciences. The Freshwater School is the only one of its kind in the United States and one of only a handful in the world. Our guests today are Val Klump and Tim Grundle. Val is Dean of the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences and professor at the school, and Tim Grundle, Associate Dean and also a professor of both freshwater and geosciences. Welcome to both of you. And Val, we're going to start with you because some people have described you as the godfather of the School of Freshwater Sciences, which I think is another way of saying you've been there for a while.
Yes, and you've
seen a lot of progress.
Yeah.
And although the school is new, you've been studying freshwater sciences for many, many years here at UWM.
University's had a Great Lakes program dating back to 1966 when the Center for Great Lakes Studies was first formed as one of a handful of centers of excellence within the University of Wisconsin system. And the institution has been in place here at UWM ever since. The school itself was formed in 2009, so it's relatively new, and we accepted our first class of students in 2010. We have 60 graduates now, but we've been in Great Lakes research and freshwater research for 50 years. This is our 50th year, so we're only 10 years behind the university in that respect.
And it's kind of surprising if you drive by the building because it is almost brand spanking new. If you take a look at the end of Greenfield Avenue, if you go any farther east, you're going to get wet. It's at the last block of Greenfield Avenue. It's quite a spectacular facility.
Yeah, it's transformed the institution. And not only the institution, but it's transforming the whole area in the Third War, or in Walker's Point area. And as you can see, I mean, at the end of the street, there used to be an old foundry, and now there's a new development with office space and a new grocery store, and that whole area is changing dramatically, and the school, I think, has been a catalyst for that.
It's a $54-55 million investment by the good people of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Tim, let's bring you into the conversation. You, too, have been studying freshwater sciences and more. You're a great example, I think, of what they describe as a person who represents the interdisciplinary approach to how we try to answer some of the tough questions facing the environment.
Yeah, I'm probably the type example of that, actually. I started at the university in the geology department. I'm a groundwater geologist, so I'm looking at water from the underground end of things. And I noticed when we were here, and this is the thinking that underlied the formation of the school all along, was that this university has lots of water researchers tucked away in little nooks and crannies of the whole university. And it's very hard to get them together and do interdisciplinary large research and get bigger grants. So the whole idea was, let's bring these people together under one roof, and you can have physical chemists and biologists, microbiologists, engineers, all together, all with the focus of water as the focus, not just sort of what you do in your little part of the world. And that's the great power, I think, the intellectual power of this school, and that's what makes it unique.
You know, one of the things that I think amaze people as they take a look at Milwaukee's prominence in terms of studying freshwater issues is the fact that you're not alone in numbers. There are companies here, there are other universities, all of them engaged in some way working in or around the water sector. And what's amazing is that came as a surprise to a lot of folks a few years ago, didn't it?
Yeah. And I think our view of the school is the boundaries of the school are much broader than just the boundaries of the university. There is an amazing collection or a consortium of water technology companies in southeastern Wisconsin. I think the Water Council, which is sort of the leading organization, has got over 150 companies that are listed on their group of people that are involved in that. But also, if you look around the entire system, University of Wisconsin system, there are lots of water-focused and water-interested faculty and programs. One of the things that we're attempting to do at the school is to broaden that focus and bring that collection of people and scientists and faculty within the entire system sort of together. And, you know, they always say that the sum is greater than the whole of the parts, and this is clearly the case when it comes to water.
Yeah, I think that's all true. It's also underpinned. I've lived in many parts of this country, and when I came to Wisconsin, it's very clear that just the public at large, you have to have the public at large in interest here. And the fact that we live on the Great Lakes, the fact that we have a strong hunting and fishing community, and everybody values, you know, all the water we have in this state, it's an easy sell in this state. Yeah. The state is very aware of water and the issues surrounding it.
Do you think we appreciate the great resource we have sitting at the door of Lake Michigan?
Well, you know, we sit on one side of the state is 20% of the world's surface freshwater, and on the other side of the state is one of the largest river systems, the Mississippi drainage, in the world. I think one of the challenges we do face is that we kind of, living in this region, which is so water rich, we do take it for granted occasionally. We turn on the tap, we flush the toilet, we don't give it much thought. But we do, you know, our activities as humans, we have a big impact on these lakes. Despite how big they are, they're surprisingly fragile. And so one of our goals, sort of in that respect, is to get people a better understanding of what the impact they have on the system and how dependent we are on them.
And there's so much water here compared to other states that may be measuring and monitoring every drop coming through the pipes.
Yeah, as Val said, it's not necessarily the volume. It's the fact the way they work. You know, there's much more to water than the quantity of water around. It's the what's called the ecosystem services. You know, what does it do for the entire ecosystem and for, frankly, the business and financial health of your own city? If you can compare us to Atlanta, you know, we have all the water we can use and draw people to this city. Atlanta's having a hard time drinking. You know, so, I mean, I think the uniqueness our geography is something that we would like people to understand better in a internal sense.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the academic programs within the School of Freshwater Science. You mentioned that the first group of students began studying freshwater sciences in, 2010, just after the school was organized. Give our listeners a description of exactly what it is that they're learning in the school.
So at present, we are a graduate school only. So we offer essentially three degrees, a doctoral degree in freshwater science, a thesis master's, and also a fairly unique degree. It's a professional science master's, which is a more executive type of degree. Doesn't require writing a thesis, but does require some internship or research experience. About half the students are in that professional degree program. Many of them work full-time or part-time. And that program has been very successful. About, I think, what's the number? 97% of our students are getting are employed after they graduate. So our placement is terrific. And they're working in, I don't know, 40 or so different water-related entities in Wisconsin, actually throughout the country, Florida, California.
And are these industries or are they other academic institutions?
They're all of the above, Tom. They're both industries. They're government agencies like the DNR, EPA, the Virginia DNR. One of our students is working there. They're NGOs. It's the whole and fairly evenly distributed, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. There's the USGS. There's a variety of environmental consulting companies. There's bigger companies that want somebody who understands the water issues that they're going to deal with in the course of their business. It's a growing field.
So it's a real magnet to bring students here from outside of Wisconsin.
Right. Right. And that's one of the major initiatives we're putting on now is recruiting students from outside our general area. And we think because of the unique nature, we can recruit students from all over the country. One of the things that also are in discussions now with not only within UWM but with colleagues at other institutions is the creation of a graduate focus in undergraduate focus in freshwater.
Because right now, if you're interested in the environment, there really is no place that you can get that full immersion, pardon the pun, in water studies as a freshman, is there?
Well, yeah, you're back to those little silos in each little department. There might be one person doing the work, but it's hidden away. So here we would like to bring to bear the entire UW system resources together into one unit, as it were.
So teaching the classes, obviously, are faculty members.
Right.
And yet, in addition to running a class, many of your, I think maybe all of your faculty are also engaged in research. Dual role there. Describe how that unfolds in school.
Well, and that's a hallmark of the institution is that our faculty are very heavily involved in research and very successful in it. It encompasses everything from sort of basic ecology of the Great Lakes to the understanding of groundwater dynamics, to issues of technology, and even into the policy and economics realm. When the school was formed, I mean, our predecessor, the Great Lakes Water Institute and the Center for Great Lakes Studies, were largely ecological and environmentally organizations, and that was our research focus. I used to say we were always great at studying the solutions, but not so great on understanding and studying the problem, the other way around. Great at studying the problems, not so great at understanding the solutions. And so two things we added to the school was a technology piece and a policy piece. And that's really oriented at trying to understand how we deal with some of the problems in our region, but, you know, globally as well.
Yeah, I think that's the other unique thing here is that we are very strong in the science, as are many places, but we also bring this policy and the technology end to it. So it's a practically oriented research. On the policy end, we've been making great strides. We have a class we're offering next year that's going to – one of the lecturers is a Pulitzer Prize finalist, Dan Egan, who people in this radio station are probably familiar with his work in the Journal Sentinel. We have a
great environmental reporter.
Yes, very great. And we have another person who's just been named a fellow. We have a fellows program at our school. He's an author of a New York Times bestseller on the water issues in varying parts of the world. His first book covered Israel. He's going to be writing a second book while he's with us on water issues, policy issues, and so on in our country.
Seth Siegel. Someone who has a really outstanding international reputation in discussing water issues.
We have well-known local lawyers in the environmental lawyer field who give classes to our students. Our students get a very broad exposure to a wide variety of the field of water.
In terms of the basic sciences that support the school, talk about biology, chemistry. I mean, are those courses that are essential for someone who's going to major in freshwater sciences?
Yeah, because of the interdisciplinary nature of freshwater research, it's important for a student to have a background, basic background in biology, earth science, physics, chemistry, calculus. I mean, you have to be really well prepared to be a scientist and to understand the breadth of freshwater work. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty rigorous field, but it's also interesting and exciting for that reason because it is. My office is next door to Sandra McLellan, for example, who's a microbiologist who's been a leader in actually restoring the beaches here in Milwaukee. And then I work with Tim on groundwater issues. So it's very invigorating to be engaged with a bunch of very passionate, you know, and brilliant scientists that have very diverse interests. But we all have a common sort of passion, and it all links together.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio are the two people who help run the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, one of the newest schools at UWM, but one with deep, deep roots, with almost half a century of research having been done using different names that that have been labeled over the scientists and the faculty members, Great Lakes Water Institute, but all of it brought together now under the School of Freshwater Sciences. Again, the only one of its kind in terms of academic programs in the United States. In addition to those many faculty members and students that are populating the School of Freshwater Science, you have some other occupants there, actually tens of thousands of them, fish. A lot of people, I think, are surprised when they walk into your building and realize that you are raising generations of fish in as part of your scientific study.
Yeah. So we've been obviously working in fisheries research for many, many years. And I think the guys in the lab have raised over 40 different species of freshwater fish. I mean, they have the equivalent of a green thumb when it comes to raising fish. And they were doing it for basic ecological reasons, to study the life history, to study the energetics and the metabolism of fish. And if you want to know, you know, how an alewife, you know, is going to behave when it's 5 days old, well, you can't go out in the lake and get a five-day-old alewife. You have to understand and be able to raise it in the laboratory. They got so good at this, they said, you know what? What about, you know, raising fish to eat, you know? And so we developed an aquaculture program. The major focus of them is yellow perch, which everybody knows in this neck of the woods anyway.
Friday night the, fish fry,
you
right?
bet. And
give me some coleslaw on the side and some rye bread in a hay.
Right. That's right. And so they've developed a technology to, for example, that allows us to have brood stocks that will spawn throughout the year. Now, normally perch spawn in Lake Michigan. They spawn in May or June, and they only spawn once a year. But we have different stocks that now we have some that are, you know, spawning this time of year, or spawn at Christmas. And the idea is if you're in the business of raising fish for sale, and we raise these indoors in tanks, recirculating systems, so the only thing that comes in the door is fish food. The only thing that goes out the door are fish fillets. So it's a secure, biosecure facility. you have if you have brood stocks that are spawning throughout the year, then you can have a, you know, a product being produced all the time. So you have, you're not just dependent on when fish are available.
And you've actually patented this process, haven't
you? That's correct, yeah. Yeah, so it's a patented process.
And companies now are able to buy the licensing rights mm-hmm. to use this. And I understand you actually have companies in the country who are now growing fish in these, but it's very, very different from the old catfish ponds, right?
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully.
And perch, because they're a cool water fish, are a little bit different, and they're a little bit more difficult to raise. On the other hand, if you go to Sandex or any local fish market here and look for perch, you'll see that you're going to pay anywhere from $15 to $20 a pound for fillets if they have it. And so the upside on that is, of course, there's a terrific market for yellow perch. I mean, you could sell as much as you could produce. And so there's a lot of interest in the business community in stimulating aquaculture.
I might add that we have an actual aquaculture certificate program in which students can come in and study the ins and outs of this whole business and get a certificate as a part of their degree on their way out.
So there's a economic development angle connected to
Absolutely.
To the lake that some people may not have even imagined.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about that relationship that both of you pointed out that the school has with industry. The fact that you've got the Water Council, which helps organize those 150-plus companies that are in the water area. You also have your faculty, both at the school and other faculty on campus, who are actually connecting their work with the industries that are making or equipment that what measures or moves or monitors water.
Right. So there's a whole group of faculty. In fact, is the university, UWM, operates an entire seventh floor of the Global Water Center, which is down in the old Reed Street Yards. And there are a whole group of faculty, largely engineers, that are working on technologies and sensor systems that are used in water, which have applications in industrial applications, but also applications in environmental issues. So they're working at things like low-level phosphate sensors, and phosphorus is, you know, is a primary nutrient which fuels the food chain in the Great Lakes. They're looking at developing handheld lead sensors, and we all know how important that issue has become as a result of the Flint situation, and it's also important here in Milwaukee. So they're developing, it's essentially a business accelerator. They're trying to take a technology that the university can invent and take it to the next step and make bring it to a commercial level.
That probably surprises a lot of people who might think, well, if you're a chemist and you're looking at the chemistry of water, your area of study is very, very limited. But that's one of the unique things about UWM, isn't it, in terms of that outreach?
Yes, it's true. I think we're on the cusp of a technical, or sort of into the cusp of a technological revolution in both the science and the industry, in that there's many of these small, robust in-situ sensors that we can measure things now that we couldn't before. And so this whole idea that if you want to study water, you got to go out and put it in a cup and bring it back and spend a month in the lab is going out the window. And we're at the forefront of developing some of these technologies, and then the people at the Water Council are taking it to the next step. You know, it's finding the solution. Where can we take these little gadgets and put them in both industry and in the study of the environment? I tell my students, I wish I was a young guy again, because, boy, there's lots of new questions that we can answer now that we couldn't when I was
Tim,
young.
You're young, and you just have to stick around a while. Keep this going. One other area that I find really fascinating, having been in the school, are some of the specialized rooms that you have to study diseases. Describe the facilities that you've been able to create in the new freshwater school.
Yeah, so we have a whole suite of laboratories which are essentially biosecure facilities which allow us to quarantine animals, and also there's one section of the laboratory that allows us to challenge organisms with pathogens or diseases which are not even indigenous to the Great Lakes. So fish disease, for example, is a major issue. Several years ago, viral hemorrhagic septicemia came into the lakes. It's a virus that was originated in salmon on the East Coast and spread to freshwater fish. And there was a great deal of concern of what this would have impact on Great Lakes fish. It wasn't as bad as a lot of people feared, but we had no way of producing like a vaccine or anything like that, say, for aquaculture. And so we now have the facilities in which we can challenge fish and expose them to a particular pathogen and be able to understand the mechanisms for that disease and also, provide cures as well. That's a unique – it's the only one of its kind in the country.
You could study the problem without risking infection in other fish populations.
Right. And we can study at a very detailed genomic level. We have excellent genomic capabilities right in the building. In fact, we have the Center for Genomic Studies there.
Some amazing equipment.
Amazing equipment.
Isn't it?
It's this equipment that they look in there, and it's just kind of a box doing something. But, boy, the answers that it gets out are just amazing.
Right. It's a giant DNA sequencer, right?
That's right.
As I recall.
Yeah. It's a million-dollar instrument. It's one of about 100 worldwide. I think there's only two of this particular type of instrument here in Wisconsin. It's interesting, years ago, the real bottleneck in sequencing in the human genome problem was the actual sequencing, the instrument that actually produced the sequences. Now the bottleneck, this instrument spits out data so fast, the bottleneck is no longer the sequencer. It's now the data system on the back end, which handles all of this fire hose of of data that's coming out of it. So.
Yeah, as I recall, you actually had to increase the computing capacity at the university.
We
right?
do. We have a brand new computer cluster, which is named Mortimer, after the first director of the Center for Great Lakes Studies. And that's a significant, piece of hardware that actually is capable of taking this data that's generated by this one instrument.
We could mention the other fancy instrument, of which there's not many in the world, more than the genomic, is called an inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometer. But it's another one of these interesting machines. You can put a little bit of water in it, and it will tell you down to parts per trillion almost any element that's in there. You can do the same thing with solids. There's a laser that ablates off, melts off little micron-sized pieces of your sample and tells you what's in it. It's these phenomenal things that we have right there at the School of Freshwater Sciences that people can use for their own studies.
Did you ever imagine that you'd be seeing science done at this level in around fresh water when you both began your careers?
Not when I began my career, no. But a number of years ago, probably around 2001 or so, we submitted a proposal to the Greater Milwaukee Foundation to make the connection between biomedical technology or biotechnology and environmental science. Because at that point, this genomic sequencing had been used heavily in a medical field or in pharmaceutical industry, but hadn't made its way into environmental science. And so that's one of our strengths here. We're one of the few institutions that really got out in front of that.
Just a minute or two left. What's the future? We've talked about the last 50 years of water research. What do you see coming up in the next few years?
Well, one thing, we're in the process of a campaign to replace our dear old Niske, which is 62 years old. It's been a terrific vessel, but we have an outstanding new design for a new research vessel. And so we're looking forward to that as a platform, not only for research, but for education and training. A floating classroom that can sail throughout the Great Lakes to Superior, to Green Bay, to Racine, wherever, and serve the students, not just at UWM, but throughout the University of Wisconsin system.
Yeah, I think, and public awareness, I think as we grow and become more obviously around, I think public awareness is really the key to keeping the health of the Great Lakes and our environment going.
Well, Godspeed to both of you guys and ladies down at the Great Lakes Center and the School of Freshwater Science as you continue the work that started. We wish you the very, very best as you folks move forward.
Thanks, Tom.
Val Klump and Tim Grundle, the Dean and Associate Dean of UWM School of Freshwater Sciences, our guest on this edition of UWM Today as we continue our year-long look at the wonderful programs that are offered at UWM, celebrating now its 60th year of service to the people of Milwaukee and the people of Wisconsin and beyond. That's all for this week's program. We will see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.